You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Good morning. All right, we're going to have an extremely short words of wisdom today. And it's from Proverbs. It's Proverbs 11:29. And just as a bit of background, Proverbs is a compendium of metaphors and short sayings that was compiled maybe 2,500 years ago. I mean, it's kind of got some history. It was compiled right after the Jews returned from their exile in Babylon. It was probably compiled because as the Jews were trying to get their lives together and kind of keep their culture together, they wanted to collect all of these sayings that they had found to be helpful over the years, that helped give them a sense of identity. And so it's sometimes you hear people talking about King Solomon having written all of the Proverbs, but that's just, you know, kind of trying to add a little extra gravitas to a book that has got plenty of gravitas all on its own. It's got plenty of authority just from its content. And if you actually pay attention and read it, there are five different sections. It's pretty obvious that they're written at, you know, different authors, different times, that kind of things. The fourth section, actually, scholars have notice that it is modeled after an even older Egyptian text called the Instructions of Amenemope, which was a book of Egyptian proverbs, which are now in Hebrew scripture. So there you go. The whole goal was to encourage the student to acquire a kind of personal standard, a standard of values and practical know-how, so that no matter how crazy the world gets, that you would have some bearing and some common sense. And so the book of Proverbs is part of what's called the wisdom tradition, wisdom literature, because as you'll hear in our passage, it appeals to the student to open up to wisdom, for it is only in doing so that we can truly be whole as human beings. And so take to heart this very brief passage of Proverbs. And when you have a chance, dip into it. Don't try and read too much of it at once. My Hebrew scripture professor, Harold Beck, says that if you sit down and you read the book of Proverbs in one sitting, I'd say that you're dull on both ends. So just take a little bit of it at a time. And Dean?
Those who trouble their households will inherit wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Loving Spirit, we're grateful for these words of wisdom that come to us from so long ago, simple, straightforward. May the Spirit be at work within us so that as we consider these words and their implication for our lives today, that none of us would leave this place unchanged. We gather as followers of Jesus. Amen. One of my favorite movies of all time is Stanley Kramer's Inherit the Wind from 1960. As I recovered from the stomach flu this week, yes, to add insult to injury, I rewatched Inherit the Wind. And even though it's a retelling of the 1925 Scopes monkey trial, I was moved at how many similarities there are to our current situation. And in one scene, the fundamentalist preacher gets up ahead of pious steam at a revival and is so impassioned by his own platitudes that he damns his own daughter to hell. he's interrupted by the William Jennings Bryan character who quotes our Proverbs passage today. The one who troubles his own house will inherit the wind. And the word used here in Hebrew, you'll probably recognize it from my having used the positive metaphorical sense. You've heard me use it before, ruach. Ruach. It's a Hebrew word for wind or spirit or breath. It's the equivalent of the Greek pneuma. We have a synagogue here in Scottsdale called Ruach Hamidbar, the spirit of the desert. But the literal root of that word, the literal meaning, is simply wind. And by extension, a violent exhalation. Can you do that with me? Right? When you are totally disgusted with something, right? Oh, do I know that sound from my house. The 13-year-old version of is pretty brutal. But when you do that, it's pretty unsustainable, right? I mean, what do you have to do after that? You got to breathe again, right? One paraphrase of this Proverbs passage says that the one who troubles their house will inherit nothing, right? And it's that sense that put a name to today's message, a fistful of nothing. Because that's what I think those who have claimed victory, the greedy, the mean, the spiteful, are going to get as a result of this week. Nothing. In fact, what they've done is awakened a sleeping giant, one that the southern churches and the traditionalists in Africa have been afraid of for a long time. And even going so far over the course of the last two general conferences to try and legislate us out of existence. I don't know if you know that, but there have been resolutions, the last two general conferences, to get rid of the Western jurisdiction. In fact, in one of them, in 2016, we here would have become part of the Oklahoma Conference. Because they figured that Oklahoma would be able to straighten us out. So the Reverend Jeremy Smith, who's one of my favorite Methodist wonks, has pointed out the substantial achievements of the West compared to the rest. And instead of celebrating our achievements, anti-Westerners try and disparage us. But in reality, just some things to keep in mind as we move forward so you are not afraid of what the future holds. The Western jurisdiction has a better ratio of professions of faith to members than any other jurisdiction in the country, right? That's us. The Western jurisdiction has the highest percentage of what's called vitality for its churches. The way the conference counts it, the other conferences may have, other jurisdictions may have bigger or more financially strong churches, but the West has a higher percentage of vital churches. The Western jurisdiction's per capita involvement is higher as well. If you, our own Anthony Tang over here at Desert Mission calculated that if you divide the average worship attendance by actual membership, that on any given Sunday, there are more Western jurisdiction Methodists in church than in anywhere else in the country. Finally, and this is where the rubber hits the road, the Western jurisdiction's per capita giving is the highest by several percentage points in all of United Methodism. Right? Now, while the West has fewer members and total giving, on average, each Western Methodist gives more to the general church than any other jurisdiction. Now, what they're really afraid of is our record of expanding the boundaries of grace. what my colleague and friend, Reverend Laura Jakewith Bartlett, calls the boundary-free love of God. Don't you love that? Boundary-free love of God. And we have demonstrated that, as Bishop Bob was saying in the video, in the most diverse jurisdiction of any of the jurisdictions. And we've modeled diverse leadership, electing the first Chinese-American bishop, the first Hispanic bishop, the first Hispanic woman bishop, the first African-American woman bishop, the first Japanese-American bishop, the first openly gay bishop. Our own Bishop Bob said yesterday that General Conference failed us miserably. We were not talking about an issue at General Conference. We were talking about people. People who are already an integral part of our faith community. And our hoped-for solution, the One Church Plan, was essentially an agree-to-disagree strategy where we could function differently on different cultural norms in different regions. But we would be united across the globe in our mission work, right? So Africa can do what Africa wants, and we can do what we want. Unfortunately, the majority, which was a coalition of traditionalist North Americans and African delegates, chose to tighten prohibitions, restrictions, and, as the bishop said, instead of building bridges, broke the connection. There was even Russian collusion. Right? It gets good. Delegates from our small but vocal Russian region of the United Methodist Church were heard on the floor of General Conference to quote Vladimir Putin in defense of their anti-LGBTQ votes. In Russia, we have no gays. It is a Western problem. Only in America. Right? In other words, the traditionalists with the Russians and the Africans and others built up such a head of pious steam that they were willing to damn our own children. This has sent a dangerous message to our young people and everyone else who's a part of our effort. When we say to young people, the church that raised you, baptized you, nurtured you, and taught you to love like Jesus has decided that there's no room for you. We love you, but only this much. And that's not the message that I get from Jesus. Bishop Bob said, as long as I am your bishop, we will not go backwards. That was a big applause line yesterday, by the way. We have worked too hard, he said, to understand our diversity to go back now, and we will not be a part of intentionally harming people. Plans are afoot. The Western jurisdiction is meeting to plot. The activist elders of our civil rights movement here in the Western jurisdiction are coming out of retirement, and they're coming out swinging. And Craig Hedges and I, who designed our new logo and our Praise Well With Others banner, you know, the logo and all of that, he and I are already working on a new ad campaign that we're going to propose to the Western jurisdiction. And I'm so excited about it. It goes along the lines of open hearts, open minds, open doors, no exceptions. Or no restrictions. And we have one beautiful image of a baby being baptized, right? And the baby's looking out at you. And the slogan with it says, no expiration date. Right? Because that's essentially what people are saying is, we'll love you up until puberty. And if you're not anything but the way we think you should be, you're out of here. Too bad. We made a mistake baptizing you, right? Our stream of thought today is on the lips of the Gene Kelly character in Inherit the Wind. G.K. Hornbeck, stand in for H.L. Mencken, right? A jaded, cynical newspaper reporter. And he says of Heavenly Hillsdale, he asks, which I think it could be said of the traditional United Methodists as well, do they have a hole in their head or their head in a hole? Isn't that great? Now, a number of you have asked whether we're going to follow Dayspring's lead and shroud the United Methodist in our name in protest and symbolic grief over the death of our denomination. And I have said no. They are not going to take the denomination that I have committed my life's work to away from me. And I've heard the same from a number of you. As the bishops of the Western jurisdiction have said, we're not going anywhere. Another one of the characters in the movie, the Clarence Darrow figure, argues against the seemingly harmless status quo of, I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. That's what it's all about. And that's what's embraced by the people of Hillsdale. And he says, as long as the prerequisite for that shining paradise is bigotry, hate, and prejudice, then I say to hell with it. Traditionalists have got it all wrong. They want to root out our LGBTQ brothers and sisters. But what Henry Drummond, and I dare say Jesus, would have us root out is ignorance, bigotry, and hate.
Amen.
Because as followers of Jesus,
we put love first.
I want you to grab your streamer. And some of you who have been around for a while remember our friend Sean Buvala. Do you remember Sean? He was part of the Fountains early on. And Sean paraphrased 1 Corinthians 12. Where are you? Oh, there he is. There you go. You know how this thing works? Yeah, all right, okay. Okay, so each of you have a different color, right? And the bishops quoted this passage, right? You know, the eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of you, because then where will be the hearing? Right? And so Sean rewrote this, but with the rainbow metaphor. And so what I'd like you to do is when you hear your color, let's practice. Orange. Excellent. Yellow. Blue. Purple. Green. Excellent. Whenever you have your color red. Red! I don't want to be exclusive. Sorry. Don't leave anybody out. So when you hear your color red, I want you to wave your streamer like crazy. And when you hear the word rainbow, what do you think? Everybody, let's see. Rainbow. Ah, oh, excellent. Okay, so let's see if this doesn't do the trick. Are you ready? For just as the rainbow is one and has many colors, and all the colors of the rainbow, though many, are one rainbow, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one rainbow. Red or orange, yellow or green, blue and purple. And we were all made to shine with one Spirit. Indeed, the rainbow does not consist of one color, but of many. If red would say, because I'm not yellow, I do not belong in the rainbow. That would not make it any less a part of the rainbow. And if blue would say, because I am not green, I do not belong to the rainbow. That would not make it any less a part of the rainbow. If the whole rainbow were blue, where would bananas be? If the whole rainbow were orange, where would Barney be? But as it is, God arranged the colors in the rainbow, each one of them as God chose. If all were a single color, where would the rainbow be? As it is, there are many colors: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, yet one rainbow. Orange can't say to green, I have no need of you, nor can blue say to yellow, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the colors of the rainbow that seem to be faint are indispensable. And those colors we think of as less brilliant, we paint with greater care, whereas our most flashy colors don't need this special treatment. But God has so arranged the rainbow, giving greater honor to the subtler colors, that there may be no dissension within the rainbow, but the colors may depend on one another. If one color is washed out, all pale together with it. If one color is brightened, all are brightened together with it. For just as the rainbow is one and has many colors, and all the colors of the rainbow, though many, are one rainbow, so it is with Christ. For in the Spirit, we are all baptized into one rainbow: red, yellow, blue, green, orange, purple. And we were all made to shine with one Spirit, one rainbow in Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.